I speak to you in the name of God, God who is Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. Please be seated. Today we are celebrating the baptism of Jesus by John the Baptist. And I want to give some context for the baptism of Jesus and also a context for prayer. For we're going to, over the Epiphany season, talk a bit about prayer and who we are as Christians when we pray. And I want you to pause for a second. We have this powerful image of Jesus being baptized by John the Baptist. And if we've been around the church for a while, we've already seen perhaps pictures of that. And we can imagine it in our minds. And we have this imagination of the Holy Spirit coming down upon Jesus as a dove. And we know that traditionally the sense of the Spirit is the feminine of God. The Holy Spirit is the feminine of God coming into Jesus. So we have both the masculine and the feminine of God. You know, historically in Judaism, there's no gender to God. But we have the masculine and the feminine both within Jesus, coming and anointing Jesus at Jesus' baptism. And I want you to think about that and think about God almost like electricity. God is all around. It surges through everything. All of us have electricity in us. We all, if you have the conditions right, you can actually see a glow coming off each one of us, like an LED light. All of us have that within us. So we have this sense of God being alive in Jesus, and Jesus being alive in God. Just picture it for a second. Now, as we have this sense of an alive Jesus, now anointed and blessed by God, we now start to move forward. And we think about the ministry of Jesus. Think for a minute, what do you think is the most greatest prayer that Jesus has left us with? What's the greatest prayer? I expect that most of us in this moment of thinking would have said the Lord's Prayer. Is that right? Yeah, most of us. Some might have said Paul's Prayer, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I know the odd person said to me, well, my favorite prayer is now I lay me down to sleep. But I think most of us know, let me say that in a tired day, I guess, but most of us know our Father who art in heaven. Did you know that there are three, in the early church, three full editions of the Lord's Prayer? Two are in the New Testament, one in Luke and one in Matthew. And there's also one in an early ancient book of the Christian church, which was published about the year 100, called the Didache. I had a copy of the Didache once. I loaned it to somebody, and they never gave it back. But the Didache, or when you look at it written, it looks like Didash, but it's pronounced Didache. And it has a copy of the Lord's Prayer in it. But you also find in the New Testament five other references to the Lord's Prayer. So the early church was very much aware of that prayer, and it's still, 2,000 years later, a powerful prayer prayed around the world, given to us by Jesus, anointed in his baptism, which we celebrate today. So what is the context in which this all came out of? And I want to start spending a bit of time looking at this power of Jesus, his presence of Jesus, his anointing, his baptism, but the context in which that happened, and then following through for the next few weeks, spending more time thinking about the Lord's Prayer. Because the Lord's Prayer is the prayer of the Christian church, which we often say, we often make reference to, but we know very little about. And so I want to help us have more knowledge about the Lord's Prayer, because it is the principal prayer of the church. Virtually any church you go into that claims to be Christian will at some point say the Lord's Prayer. And I've even gone to very secular funerals where maybe there's not any other reference to faith, but somehow the Lord's Prayer will be said or sung. Once in a while, the 23rd Psalm, but usually always the Lord's Prayer. So what was the context of that? Well, prayer comes, and Jesus is Jewish, so he would have come from this understanding. Prayer comes from the Psalms. The Psalms are all prayers, each and every one of them. Some set to music, some not. But as people walked along, and we used to say our Psalms this way here, we would have said it as journeying people, where one side of the group would say part of the psalm, the other side would say the responsive side and give a pause in between. That's how pilgrims say the psalm. But that would be that psalm of prayer. And all of these psalms, if you look at them carefully, are bound up in two different formats. The psalms are either giving a complaint to God. Why did you lead us here? What's going on? We're upset. And then there's also in the midst of that, after the complaint, there is a praise. Well, we thank you, God, anyway. Even though we're kind of upset with you, we thank you for being you, God. And then there's another element of the Psalms, the first one is a request. Give me manna, Lord. We're here wandering in the wilderness, and we need food. So come on, help us. And then gratitude. We thank you for giving us what you've given us. So we have those two sort of opposite poles, one of complaint and one of praise, or one of request and one of gratitude. So you can divide it up that all the Psalms have two elements. There is this whole thing of asking, and this whole thing of praising. So those are the two elements of the prayers that people had. And this was the context which Jesus grew up in and came into and was baptized. But John the Baptist had changed things a little bit. Because John the Baptist was more than just a liturgical leader. John the Baptist was a prophet. And the prophets, all the great prophets, have something else going for them. They prayed, but they also lived within a concept of distributive justice. Now, this is important to have that word in your mind. Distributive justice is not the kind of Christian justice that you're going to hear during the next few weeks as the Republicans debate who can be the most whatever in the United States as they go for votes. That's retributive justice. Let's get even. Let's get that guy. But distributive justice is saying that God wants people to share what they have equally with one another. We distribute everything. God has given enough for the world, so long as we all share, that nobody should be without and nobody should have too much. Everything is distributed. And the prophets are saying when that gets out of balance, God is displeased. And God will turn his back on those who are not distributing equally to each other and caring for each other. Because God cares for the lowly, and God calls on those who are more high to share with those who are without. And the prophets are always saying this. So while the people in the Psalms are praying, the prophets are those who are speaking for God. And they are saying, you must return to justice. You must return to equality. You must return to not just giving prayers to God, but you must act like you mean it. And that's why in the scripture you will often see where the prophets will say, God doesn't want your liturgical prayer. God doesn't want your haughtiness and your hymns. God doesn't want you to be dressed fine if you are not really living out the principle of God. God is not interested. So the liturgy, even for us today, if we just went through and were playing church, doing liturgy without any sense of compassion and grace and caring and sensitivity, God would not be pleased with our prayers. We must have both going on. And that's the message of the prophets, combining that with the message of the psalmists. There must be balance. Justice must be distributed. So it's in this background that Jesus' ministry comes to us, shaped by the annunciation of the prophets and even the New Testament prophet of John the Baptist, but with this background of what prayer is about, that we are in gratitude, we make requests to God, but we also give gratitude and thanksgiving. And it's in that background that we're going to talk about the Lord's Prayer. Now, people have often asked me, what are the key elements of my own prayer? How do I pray? And one thing I'd like to share with you is a very simple acronym, and we'll build on that in future weeks as we journey through the Lord's Prayer. There are four basic elements of prayer which Jesus knew and used, and the best way to remember it is the fifth book of the New Testament, or the extension of the Gospel of Luke, known as the Book of Acts, A-C-T-S. And if you can remember each one of those, the A's, the C, the T, and the S, and put that together in your private prayer, it will give you a much more rich prayer life. The A stands for adoration. I love you, God. I know you love me. And with your Spirit in my life, I also not only love myself, but I reach out and I love others. And you help me overcome my fear. Because a lot of us live in this world in fear. So A is for adoration. And all private prayer should have some element of adoration. A sense of giving God glory. A sense that God is first in our lives, not our money, not our Powerball ticket, not anything else, but God is first. Then this AC, Acts, the second letter of the word Acts, is a C, and it stands for confession. We recognize at this point of confession that we are human beings, that we do make mistakes, and some of us make big ones. I make huge mistakes. If I had a nickel for every mistake I ever made, I would be retired well and truly. And I'm sure that's true for most of us. We all make mistakes. We all make errors. We also do things that hurt others, usually unintentionally, but it happens. And so we come to God and confess our own weakness, our own humanness, our own mistakes that we've made. Things we may have said to our families, to our partners, to our workmates. Things we've said to ourselves, things we may have done. We confess that to God, with the assurance of knowing that God is a forgiving God. We are not going to be judged and thrown away. And that leads us to the third point of good, balanced prayer, and that's thanksgiving. We thank you for all the gifts, God, that you have given us. We thank you for the joys in life. We thank you for our meaningful employment. We thank you for somebody who understands. We thank you for warmth. We thank you for food. There's this whole sense that we know that God provides for God's people. And we don't take it for granted. We are thankful for it. So that's the T in the word acts. And then we come to the S. And most of it, we were talking about the Psalms earlier, most of it was being angry and asking, right? Well, the S stands for supplication. And supplication is a nice way of saying asking. And you divide the supplication into two categories. The first being asking for others instead of ourselves. We ask for God's beauty and power to be with somebody we know who is not well, physically, emotionally, whatever. We ask for that. People in our lives that are sick, people have lost jobs, the refugees who got pepper sprayed the other day in Vancouver, we pray for them as they are in shock over what heavens is happening again kind of thing. We also pray for the misguided person who drove on a bike and pepper sprayed them. I mean, what's that about? So we ask God to intervene in that person's life, to help them really relook at what's going on. So that's supplication, asking for others, asking God and remembering before God people beyond ourselves and even things that we know of that are important. And then the second part of supplication is asking for ourselves. Because we know we have things that worry us, that beset us, illnesses, weaknesses, whatever it might be. Aging, I'm getting to know that one more and more. All those things, we ask and bring it and place it in God's hands. So a balanced prayer is based on the book of Acts, A-C-T-S. And it's in that balanced way that we'll start to understand the greatest prayer of the Christian community, the Lord's Prayer. And we're going to explore it more in the future. But this week when we pray, try to have a deeper sense of what's going on in your own personal prayer. And try to have a sense that the prayers of Jesus and our own prayers come out of that history where the psalmists were praying for stuff and bringing to God all their complaints, but at the same time, people who are the prophets were saying, you must do this in the context of making sure that you treat yourself and everything else with equity, with distributive justice, not trying to be punitive, but distributing and being even-handed and holistic. And so I pray today as we celebrate the Spirit coming with Jesus at his baptism, that the Spirit may be with us. And as we intake the Eucharist, may we be electrified to go from here into the world and be the eyes and ears, the hands and the feet of our Lord and Savior. With the confidence that we are not alone, that we are loved, and God is with us. May God bless us all. Amen.